My name's Charlie. I'm the family pastor here at Two Rivers Bible Church. If you are new to Two Rivers and have come over the last 5 weeks, you haven't seen me because my wife and I we've been gone for 2 weeks. We were on a mission trip out in the jungle of Peru, and then as soon as we got through with that, we took off on vacation and we went to Germany, and we spent 3 weeks in Germany, and it was a well-needed and appreciated vacation that we had. But what was really cool was while we were traveling, we were staying connected to you guys here because we were either on Facebook following the messages or going to the website and following the messages. And we got really excited when we saw that Jesse kicked off this new sermon series called The Great Exchange. The Great Exchange is really, I mean, when we saw that, it was like, wow, this is going to be a good series, because he's telling us to exchange what we think is good for what we know is better. And so as I was preparing for today, as I was getting ready for today, I wanted to talk to you guys about an inward exchange. Because we all have these things in our hearts, in our minds, in our beliefs, in our habits that we think is good, but we need to exchange them for what we know is better. And as I was preparing for this, and as I was getting ready for this, I found this quote by James Allen. James Allen was an author from the late 1800s to the early 1900s, and he was accredited for being the first motivational writer. And here's what he had to say. He said, "Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They, therefore, remain bound." And when I read that quote, it just kind of reassured something that I already believe, that people don't like change. We just don't like change. Now, we'll accept some change that we can control. Is that a fair statement? We'll accept that. Like, we will rearrange the living room. We'll accept that change because we can control that. We will maybe change our hairstyle or our hair color because we're in control of that. We'll change our car. We'll change our address. But when it comes to that inner exchange, we have a little bit more of a difficult time doing that. And I've got an illustration that I want to use this morning to kind of help kind of seal in the fact that people just don't like change. And this is going to be a participation illustration. This is one that everybody's going to be involved. So what I want to ask you to do right now is I want to ask everybody to stand up. So if everybody will just stand up, unless you've got a precious little baby in your hand, and it's kind of hard to stand up at that point. But here's what I want us to do. Are you ready for this? I want you to exchange your current seat for one that's closer. All right? So now, as we do this, keep this in mind, that that second service, I'm going to tell them that everybody participated. Yes. All right. So, man, this is great. So we really don't like change, because every Sunday I usually ask people to move forward, and I get people standing back there in the back going, "No, I am not moving. No, I'm not." But we don't like change at all, do we? Is this permanent?
Do I need to go get my permit?
Everybody can be seated now. Is this permanent? No, next Sunday you can go back to sitting where you want to sit. Okay? But we don't like that change, because we don't like people to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. We don't like that change when we're not in control of that change. And so today we're talking about that inward exchange, when we're taking that thing inside of us and exchanging it for something that's better. And I want to share with you my anchor verse this morning, and it's Galatians 6:15. And this is the verse that we're just going to kind of look at, and we're going to see the rest of this message through the lens of this message, this passage. It says, "Certainly, it doesn't matter whether a person is circumcised or not. Rather, what matters is being a new creation." Okay? There's a lot said in that. Let me read that again. It says, certainly, it doesn't matter whether a person is circumcised or not. What that's talking about is that's talking about outward religious things. Circumcision was an outward sign of being religious. Wearing our jewelry, our crosses, is an outward sign. You know, you may come to church on Sunday and you wear your suit, your tie. You know, you've got your Sunday best. You've got your Sunday clothes you wear. It's an outward expression. You tell people, I go to church. I go to Two Rivers. You know, you got your seat that you sit in, but today you don't. But what it's telling you is all that external stuff, it don't matter. It doesn't matter, that external stuff. What matters, because see, here's the thing. You're not going to get any more Jesus sitting in the back row than you do on the front row. But what matters is what happens in here. What happens inside? What are you exchanging inside? Yeah, you exchanged your seat for a closer seat, but you have no greater vantage point from where you're at than where you were. It doesn't matter, that outside stuff. And so what I want to talk about this morning is three different exchanges that we're going to look at. And the first one is exchanging hopelessness for hope. And you know what? Sometimes we don't realize we're living in hopelessness. Some people don't know that there's hope out there. They don't realize that their situation can be better, because you've probably heard this from somebody before. Well, this is just the hand I was dealt. You know what? When you hear somebody say, well, that's just the hand I was dealt, they're telling you there's no hope. There's nothing that's going to change my future. There's nothing that's going to get me out of this situation. There's nothing that's going to help me out here. I'm here. This is where I'm at. This is what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you that there is hope. Psalms 42:5 says, why are you discouraged, my soul? Why are you so restless? Put your hope in God, because I will still praise him. He is my Savior and my God. There's hope in God. Because our souls get restless. We get discouraged. We get depressed. We get so caught up in life that we can't see past the trees that are right in front of us. We can't see past that problem that we're facing. We can't see past that hopelessness that we're in the midst of. But the psalmists tell us to praise him in the midst of that. To put our hope in God, because there's hope in him. Matthew 11:28 says, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carrying a heavy burden. I will give you rest. Are you trying to carry it all on your own? Are you trusting God with everything? Or are you having that conversation and you're saying, God, this is too small for you. I got it. I'll do this one on my own. Why would you want to look at me and help me out with this little burden? I'm going to tell you, he cares about the little things in your life, because he's saying, I want to give you rest. Because if you carry something little for long enough, it gets heavy and it gets tiresome. You know, I just can't help but think about the woman at the well. She had her water pot. Scripture says that she left her water pot and ran back to the city. And when I read that passage, I can't help but think what that water pot represents. That water pot represents all of her sins and all of her burdens and everything that she's trying to carry that's weighting her down and slowing her down. It was something that she did every single day. It was something that she carried all the time. But now she has living water. And she doesn't need to carry that anymore, because God's going to give her rest. This is an open invitation from Jesus to all of us. Because if we're looking at Jesus and we're going, dude, I got this. This is too small for you. We're probably doing it with the big things too, aren't we? We're probably trying to carry those big burdens on our own. We're trying to carry the burden of our family on our own without going to our knees before God and saying, God, help me with my marriage. God, help me with my finances. God, help me with my work. God, help me find a job. We're probably saying, I got it on my own. I'll do it on myself. I'll kick that habit on my own. God, you can't kick this for me. It's too big. This monkey's on my back. I got it. But Jesus is saying, come to me. I will give you rest. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we just have to acknowledge the depth of our spiritual poverty and say, God, I can't do this. I can't afford to carry this on my own. I've got to have you with me. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you find yourself in that hopelessness, exchange it for hope. Put it into his hands. Turn it over to Christ. Give it to him. Let him carry that for you this morning. The second one is exchange brokenheartedness for healing. Man, this one, don't we tend to discard everything that's broken in today's society? If it's broken, we just throw it away. If the lawnmower is broken, we throw it away. We go to Walmart, we buy a new one. If the toaster or the blender is broken, we throw it away. We go buy a new one. If the car is broken, we just get rid of it and go buy a new one. If the church is broken, we just get rid of it. We go, you know what? The church isn't doing anything for me. It's not helping me. And we just get rid of it out of our lives. We do that with relationships. This relationship is broken. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to get this out of here. I'm going to find a new one that's not broken. And that's what we tend to do. We tend to get rid of everything that's broken. Psalms 34, 17 through 18 says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all trouble. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. He's not throwing you away because you're broken. This week, I've had some opportunities to ask several different people, and I got to have a very encouraging conversation with Christian this week. She really helped me kind of get some thoughts in order this week about brokenheartedness. And I asked several people this week, what does it mean when you read in Scripture that Jesus heals the brokenhearted? What does brokenhearted mean to you? And I heard this a lot. Well, when I read that, I think that it's meaning that somebody has a broken heart from a relationship that's ended, or a job that's lost, or something, you know, maybe a loss of a loved one. He heals the brokenhearted. In church, I'm going to tell you, it's more than that. It's more than just that. And I had this conversation with somebody, and they said, I don't know if he would be there in the midst of my terminal diagnosis. Because I asked the question, I said, can you praise him in that brokenness? And they told me, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I could praise him for having cancer. Church, it's so much more than that. It's more than praising him for the things that's happening in your life. I want to know, can you praise him for who he is in the midst of the brokenness of life? Can you praise him when you get that terminal diagnosis that you have cancer and there's no cure for it? Can you praise him for who he is? Can you praise him for the fact that he is the Savior? Can you praise him for the fact that he is your Lord? He is your forgiver. He is your leader. Can you praise him for the fact that he is God's son? Can you praise him for that? Because that's what it is. Because when we become brokenhearted, there's something inside of us that's broken. Our spirit is crushed. And God wants to heal that. He wants to heal that brokenness. It's not the fact that we're in the situation that our finances are crumbling around us and we can't do anything about our finances and we're praising God. God, thanks for bankruptcy. That's not what it's about at all. It's about thank you, Jesus, for being there in the midst of this bankruptcy. Thank you for being my forgiver. Thank you for being my leader. Thank you for being there for me when I need somebody to talk to and nobody will listen. Thank you, God, for bringing people into my life that will help me, that will encourage me, that will guide me, that will help me. It's being able to praise him in that. Can we praise him in the midst of the brokenness of life? For some of us, we're not going to know until we get there. We're not going to know if we can praise him in that moment or not. But if you find yourself in that moment and you're finding it difficult to praise him, you may be brokenhearted. You may have a wounded spirit. But Jesus said that he heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He's not going to throw you away because you're broken. That's not what he does. He binds our wounds. Number 3. Exchange the chains of bondage for freedom. You guys know that in March, Christian and I moved out into the country. We moved way out in the country. And we live off of Harwood Road now, and I drive in, and I pass the prison there on Harwood Road. And when we first moved out there, I'd look at that prison a lot. And I'd think about the young adults that are there at that prison. And I would think about how they are, that some of them have to be scared to death. They have to be scared to death because they're living in a situation where they have no control of what's going on around them. The new inmates that are coming in are probably thinking, and I don't know, I've never been in jail, so I don't know. Really, I'm just assuming these things as I'm driving by. But I'm assuming that they're scared when they come in. Because we've all seen the TV shows, we've all watched the movies, where there's that one guy, right, that runs the cell block. He's the man. Everything goes through him. But I want to suggest that he is probably just as afraid as that new one coming in. And as I drove by and I saw that and I thought about that, I got to thinking about bondage and not the bondage of being imprisoned by bars, but the bondage of sin. By being imprisoned by sin. And I got to thinking about anybody can live in bondage. It takes courage to live free. It takes courage to stand up and say, I need someone bigger than me to take care of my life. It takes courage to do that. John chapter 8, verse 34 through 36 says this. It says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free. Are we in bonded by sin today? There's something better. We can live free. We can have freedom. It takes courage to admit that you need him. But when I read this passage, when I read this and it says that a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever, I couldn't help but think of this girl that we met in Peru. She's 13. She was in the girls' home because her dad raped her. Her dad was raping her. Her mom beat her every morning and told her, "Don't you say a word to anybody." The dad is raping her and the mom is beating her. She finally got the courage to say something at the school that her dad was raping her and her mom was beating her every day. And so she was rescued out of that situation. She was taken out of the home. And she was placed in this girl's home that we visited. And shortly after we left, she got sick. She got really sick. She got bad sick. She was sick for 10 days. They took her to the doctor. The doctors, they examined her. They looked at her. They were like, there's nothing wrong with her. But this girl was lethargic. She was talking out of her head. She was getting violently sick. She was just really bad shape. But the doctors are going, we can't do anything for her. It's all mental. Take her home. So they took her back to the girl's home after about 3 days of being in the hospital. And this continued and continued and continued. She would have little moments where she was feeling better, but then it would just go right back. Well, come to find out, after about 10 days, it was just an act. It was just an act. She was trying to get them to throw her out of the house and put her back on the street. Because I can only imagine that what was going through her head is, if my own dad is going to rape me and my mom is going to beat me, how can these people that I don't know love me the way they're loving me? Offering me something that I don't know anything about. Because she didn't know Jesus. She doesn't know him to this point. But she's hearing his word. She's hearing about him. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. The ransom he paid was not just merely gold and silver. It was the precious blood of Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. There's freedom that comes with that. That young girl only knew bondage. She was trying to get back to what she knew. It takes courage to live free. It takes courage to live free. And I'm going to tell you, we're sitting here today and we're going, you know what, Charlie, I know Jesus. I know Christ. I am living free. But these scriptures that I just read to you, these things that we just talked about, these are messages to you and I, to Christians, because we tend to find ourselves living in hopelessness. We tend to find ourselves being brokenhearted. We find ourselves in bondage to sin. And Jesus is saying, I want all of you. You guys can come on up. He's saying, I want all of you. I've got something for you that is so much better than what you think you have right now. I've got true freedom. It says in Jeremiah 29:13, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Are we looking for him? Let me ask you, when it comes to those chains of bondage, that sin that we hold on to, do you have that little pet sin that you only pull out when no one's looking and you caress it and you take care of it, and you cradle it, and you care for it, and you nurture it. Do you have that little pet sin? You may be saying, you know what? I just look at a little porn. I just eat a little too much. I just gossip a little bit. I only tell a little white lie. I'm going to tell you that sin that is keeping you in bondage from experiencing the true freedom that Jesus has come to offer you.
Hi, this is Jesse, lead pastor for Two Rivers Bible Church. Our mission is to lead you to know God and to make Him known. Our desire is that every man, woman, and child would have that opportunity. Our dream is that we could take a picture of heaven and represent it here on earth in the diversity that we're able to reach. Our hope is that you too could partner with us by sharing this message to your closest unchurched friends and family.